turn your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. In the first 6 verses, I dealt with the church at Sardis, the dead church. In the next 7 verses, I'll be dealing with the church at Philadelphia. But as an introduction, I want to do a quick review of the 5 previous churches. The church at Ephesus was commended for hard work and perseverance, for its stand against heresy, for enduring hardship for Christ's sake, and for hating the practice of the Nicolaitans. All of this without the love of Christ, which first fueled their passions. They left their first love. Jesus said, "Repent, or the church would cease to exist." Eternal life in the Lord's kingdom, the right to eat of the tree of life, would be their reward if they repented. And then I spoke about the church at Smyrna, which suffered poverty, blasphemy, and persecution. Jesus told them, "Fear none of those things which shall happen to you. Be faithful unto death. You will not be hurt of the second death, which is the lake of fire, and you shall receive a crown of life." And then I went to the church at Pergamos, to which our Lord said, "I have a few things against you, because some of you held the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit adultery. And you also have them that hold the doctrines of the Nicolaitans, which I hate. Repent, or else I will come quickly and fight against you with the sword of my mouth." And to those he said, "That overcomes will have the right to eat of the hidden manna, and that Jesus would give him a white throne and a new name." And the next church I spoke of was the church at Thyatira, a church of works, charity, service, and faith. But Jesus said, "I have a few things against you, because you allowed that woman Jezebel, who called herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols." But to those who hold not her doctrine, Jesus said, "Hold fast what you already have till I come." And then the last church I spoke of was Sardis, the church of the walking dead. Jesus put it in these words, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness." This was the condition of the church at Sardis, like whitened sepulchres. Inside were filled with dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. But nonetheless, in Sardis, there was a few real people. There was a few that held on to God, who did not defile their garments with the sins of the world, and God richly rewarded them. And now we come to the church at Philadelphia. I'll give you just a little historical background of Philadelphia. It was a small town in the Roman province of Lydia. Its name meant brotherly love. It was founded in the 2nd century B.C. The town was often rocked by earthquakes, and in 17 A.D. was completely destroyed by such an earthquake. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia, Jesus told John, "Write these things, says he that is holy, that is true, he that has the key of David, he that opens, and no man shutteth, and he that shutteth, and no man opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. For you have a little strength, and has kept my word, and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept the word of my patience, I will also keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which you have. Let no man take your crown. Him that overcomes, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from God. And I will write upon him my new name. Unto him that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. And now, let us go back to verse 7, where Jesus said, "These things says he that is holy." This is red letter writings here. This is God talking. And he says, "Write these things says he that is holy." Holy, holy, holy. God is holy. Peter reminds us in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, he admonishes us to be holy, because it is written, "Be you holy, for I am holy." Holiness was not an idea that Peter came up with on his own. Peter was quoting some other red letter words from the Old Testament. Listen to some of these words in Leviticus, the 11th chapter. Now, I want to remind you, this is red letter stuff. This is God talking. Listen what he says. "For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore sanctify yourself, and you shall be holy, for I am holy." In Leviticus chapter 11 in verse 45, God said this, "I am the Lord that brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." And in Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 26, God says, "And you shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that you should be mine." And in Ezekiel chapter 39 and verse 7, we read these words. And this again is red letter stuff. This is God talking. Listen to what he says. "So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name any more. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel." Paul goes on to say, "Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandments holy, and just and good." God is a holy God, and if we're going to ever see God, we're going to have to be a holy people, because without holiness, no person shall see God.